All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, chapter 7, Joshua chapter 7, for the message this evening. I asked a fellow this morning out there, why are you doing this? And he said, your church doesn't say enough on its website about abortion. And I said, on the website, best thing to do is come in here. And if you come in here, you'll find out probably fairly quickly where we stand in that area. And he said, you don't get it. Okay. I don't get it. So you do, you know, but anyway, so I said, instead out here in the cold, you ought to come in to the service and hear the word of God. I mean, go to church on Sunday, you know, but he said, We are worshiping our way. That's what he called it. So I don't guess they worship on Sunday nights. Hello? Anybody speak English out here? You do? Okay. Do you get that? All right. Now, I don't know exactly, what their plans are, but they're telling everybody that they can, that they're going to protest Church of the Open Door from now on out on Sunday morning. So I want to just tell you this. It'll probably be all over the county, but I want to tell you all this, that the only place that they can legally protest is out the back, where they were this morning. That's the only place. The state trooper told me that he spoke with the district attorney or somebody up in power. He said that sidewalk is public land and there's nothing we can do about it. So if they're out there next week, I know a lot of you come in that way, but if they're out there that next week, I'm going to take one of our buses and just park it across the gate, and we'll open this one out here by the bus barn, and of course you can come in off of 140, because there is no sidewalk out here. There's no sidewalk. That's all ours right out to the road. And there is no sidewalk up here. That's ours right up to the road and all the way down. Okay? So should they show up next week, and I don't know that they will, but should they show up next week, all they want, folks, is attention. That's all they want. They just want you to acknowledge that they're there. That gives them satisfaction that they have rattled your cage. All right, so we'll just park a bus across there and nobody use it. Well, you're not going to be able to use it because I'm going to put a bus across there. But if you will, please, don't yell at them and don't fuss at them and don't make ugly faces at them and don't tell them go home. Just ignore them. All right? My mom always said, if you just ignore someone, they'll leave you alone. They might beat the tar out of you in the process, but that's what I found out. But anyway, they'll leave you alone, so to speak. So if they're out there next week, just and I don't know, I guess you'll see. But if you come in this way, you just go on out like you're going to Lowe's and BJ's and Home Depot and all that, and then you turn at the stoplight there and just come up to 140, stay in the inside lane, and it'll just take you right here, and you can come in that way. Or you can just swing on around the circle and come in through the bus area where we keep the buses out there, okay? And it's not going to do any good to fuss at them or fight them. So don't even go there, because you're talking. You just might as well get in an argument with that piano right there. All right, you're going to have the same impact on that piano as talking to one of them. All right. Thank you, John. All right, let's look, please, at our Bible in Joshua 7. And I would like to begin reading, please, in verse 16. Now, let me go ahead and just tell you that earlier in this chapter, if you look at verse 1 says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, Carmi, long, is that a long mark? Yep. Carmi, the son of, and all the rest of them, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And so in verse 2, Joshua sent men from Jericho to the next town, which was a walled city as well, and its name was Ai. All right, it was beside Beth Aven on the east side of Bethel, and said, "Go up and view the country." And the men went up and viewed Ai. And so you know the story. They came back and they said, "You know, there's no need in taking the whole group, we can go there and whoop that little town with no problem." So they went, and they were soundly defeated, just terribly defeated. And so in verse 10, we see that the Lord told Joshua, after Joshua fell on his face and said, "Lord, why? Why has this happened?" And in verse 11, God told him, "Get up," and he said, "Israel hath sinned." And then the story unfolds. All right, now look at verse 16. Verse 16, it says, "So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man." In other words, they paraded in front of Joshua. All right, Joshua is sitting there in the middle of the camp, and he, with each guy that came by, he looked him dead in the eye and waited for the Lord to speak. All right, so the tribe of Judah was taken. Verse 19, "And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done." Now look at verse 21. This is what I'm going to use as a text verse tonight. And here's what Achan said to Joshua. He said, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it." I want to speak to you tonight from that 21st verse. I'm going to call my message tonight, "The Path Downward." The Path Downward. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your blessings upon us. Thank you for the music tonight. What a blessing. And I pray now that you will bless as we open your eternal word. Father, I pray you'll fill me with your spirit and help me as I speak. And I pray that you will bless the message to every heart. May we leave here tonight having heard from heaven, and we'll give you the praise and glory for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Joshua has led the children of Israel across the Jordan River into the land of promise. And the first city that they came to was the walled city of Jericho. The reputation of the Israelites had already reached the ears of the people of Jericho. And they had the city closed up. The walls were guarded. The gates were locked. Everything was just shut down when Joshua and the children of Israel came upon it. Now, when they prepared for battle against Jericho, the first battle in their quest to conquer the land, God told Joshua that the people were not to take anything out of Jericho. Not a thing. And God meant it, as Achan and his whole family found out. They were not to take any spoils from the city. They were not to take food. They were not to take money. They were not to take clothing. They were not to take animals. Nothing was to be taken by the children of Israel. You say, "Pastor, I've often wondered why God did not want them to take anything from Jericho." Well, the answer to that is not difficult when you stop and think about how the tithe is the Lord's. And what's the tithe? It's 10%. But it's the first 10%. The firstling of the flock belonged to God. All right? The first child, the first male child in the family belonged to God. And so in principle, the first fruits belonged to the Lord. And God was simply asking Israel to tithe, not to take what did not belong to them. The first fruits is always the Lord's. Always. And that's why we give of the first fruit of our increase. Okay? We don't spend God's part and then say, "Whoops, Lord, sorry. I spent your money. I'm sorry about that." No, that doesn't work. Not with God anyway. And so God was simply asking Israel to tithe and not taking the first fruits of the land, which did not belong to them, but instead belonged to the Lord. So Achan went in to the city And when he did, he took a bunch of stuff. And now Israel, the whole nation, is paying the price for Achan's sin. And so in the course of events, God aided and assisted Joshua and the children of Israel. And when they obeyed the Lord's command, city walls fell in. Israel won a great victory, and the taking of the city of Jericho was so easy to do. Joshua suggested that they just send a small group, a partial group of men to go to Ai and conquer it. But they were soundly defeated, as you know. Now, when they brought word to Joshua of their defeat, Joshua fell on his face before the Lord to beg of the Lord to reveal to him what went wrong. And that is when God told Joshua about what happened in Jericho. You see, folks, Achan thought nobody saw him, but God saw him. And when you think nobody sees you, God sees you. All right? And so here is Joshua now asking God to help them so that they can get rid of the sin that has turned the Lord against them. You see, somebody had disobeyed the Lord's commandment. Somebody had taken the spoil to keep it for himself. And God led Joshua to the person who was the guilty party. And his name was Achan of the tribe of Judah. And Joshua, in verse 20, has him standing in front of him, in front of all the tribe of Judah. And he says to him, "Tell me now what thou hast done, and hide it not from me." And Achan began to confess. Now, that leads us to the text verse where Achan confessed his sin to Joshua and to God. This confession, I think, shows us the steps downward. They show us the steps or the pathway that leads us to sin and destruction. I want to point out those steps to you tonight and show you what Achan's lustful greed caused in that battle and caused against the children of Israel. So let's trace Achan's steps and let's just see how he ended up being destroyed from off the face of this earth. All right, let's look at the verse, please. You look carefully at verse 1, and I'll show you the first one. All right, here it is. Look at this. When I, what's the next word? Saw. When I saw. That's where it starts. That's where it started for Achan. Oh, by the way, that's where it started for Eve in the garden, you remember? Bible says, and when she saw that the fruit, all right? So that's where it began with Achan. That's the first step in a downward progression. If you look at the first three words of this verse, you will see that Achan started the path towards destruction through the things he saw with his eyes. He saw them. So the first step for Achan was through his eyes. Let me remind you that Eve's path started in the same way. The same way. Genesis 3:6. The Bible says, "And when the woman saw," I read this week, I don't know how true it is, I don't know how you can measure something like this, but I read this week where this study said that 85% of all the things we learn in life, that they are learned through the things that we see with our eyes. That our sight is one of the greatest teachers that we have. You see, God created us with five senses. Five senses. Actually, some folks have six. That sixth one's called horse sense. All right, you know what horse sense is, right? That's the sense God gives horses not to bet on people. All right, just consider that. That's true. All right, we have sight, we have smell, we have hearing, we have touch, and we have taste. Those are our five senses. I remember when I was in college, both undergrad and graduate school, I had to take several classes dealing with all of this stuff and dealing with the conscious and the subconscious part of our minds. And I remember the professor, and the reason I remember is because I dug it out and read it. I remember that professor saying that all five of our senses are always on. They're always on. All right, you don't turn them off. Even subconsciously, you don't turn them off. And he said that every waking minute of the day, everything we touch, everything we see, everything we smell, everything we hear, and everything we taste is recorded in our minds. And he went on to say that your mind is like, it's just like this vast computer that just takes in everything that your five senses experience accumulated all through life. And that seems to be, doesn't it? Because sometimes you will smell something and then you'll find out what it is, and it may be a long time before you ever smell that again. But when you smell that smell again, you know exactly what it is. Because everything is stored in your computer that's between your ears. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, are we not? So they believe that 85% of our learning comes through the eyes and through what we see. Now, folks, this is a very good reason for watching carefully what you allow your eyes to view. It's a good reason for being very careful with what you see. And yet, our young people in America sit by the hours and play video games with all manner of wickedness on them. You better, parent, you better find out what they're playing. People sit and watch Hollywood movies with all the cursing and the demonism and the drug use and the drinking and the filth, and our eyes are just taking in all of it. And now there's another tool the devil has decided to use, and that's the internet. Oh, you better be careful on that thing. All manner of perversion is on that internet. And I want you to notice that Achan said, when I saw. I told you last week that some of you young people, you better be real careful with what you allow your eyes to see on that screen. Because you're going to light a fire burning in your bones that you can't put out. And it'll destroy you. And that's the first step. The very first step is what you allow your eyes to see. You know, the eye gate has been used of Satan to ruin many lives. And we've all been appalled by the moral demise of our country. We are sickened today, or at least I am, I hope you are, by the language that is commonly used today. One would think that cursing is taught in elementary school these days, listening to the way children curse just in casual conversation. It's amazing. Where do they learn that language? Well, a lot of them learn it at home. Because dad uses it, and mom uses it. And a lot of them learn it right in their own homes. And then when the child uses it, the parents are angry and hurt and upset. One family came to me several years ago, and the man was broken. And he said, "Pastor, I got to tell you what happened." And I said, "Okay, tell me." And he sat down and he began to tell me how his little boy, who was 4 years old, just went into a tirade cursing another little boy. And he said, I looked, I said, what in the world? He said, I ran over and I grabbed a hold of him and I picked him up and I took him inside the house and I sat him down and I said, "Son, where did you learn to talk like that?" And he said, "Pastor," he pointed his little old tiny finger at me and said, "From you, Daddy." He said, "You just might as well have taken a baseball bat and clunked me over the head with it." He said, "I never had anything hurt me as bad as that hurt me." You know what I said? Good. Good. It ought to. See, our children learn so much from us, don't they? Where'd you learn that? Well, Hollywood and comedy shows and primetime television and tons of these video games, you name it. Cursing is a second nature to our society today because we have said it before our eyes, and we have watched the world in full display cursing as if it were nothing. And you know, any idiot can curse. That's true. I've heard some of them. You're supposed to laugh right there. I've heard some of them, haven't you? But it takes someone with a little bit of sense to be able to put the language together and communicate. And if we do not protect what goes through the eyes into our minds, we are going to find ourselves evil-hearted and wretched people. I have said to you from behind this pulpit many, many times, you are right now what you have been becoming. You are what you have been becoming. So if you sit around and you watch nudity and filth and fill your mind with the vile things of this world, you're going to wake up one day and find yourself a vile individual. It's just how it happens. And the devil knows that better than anybody. All right, look at your Bible. Second step. Second step. Go down into the middle of the verse when he described all the things that were there. The goodly Babylonish garment. That garment. With the B. Capitalized. From Babylon. All right, and then the silver, and then the gold, and all the rest. He said, then I what? There you go. He saw, and then he wanted. He saw, and then he wanted. Isn't that what happened to David? Should have been out to battle with his troops. But no, he stayed behind. And then he went out on the balcony, and lo and behold, he saw, and then he wanted. You see, from seeing, Achan went right straight to coveting. I want that. Coveting is what you see, or coveting what you see is the next step on the pathway that leads to evil. His affections for the forbidden were allowed to overcome him. You used to hear a great deal about how Christians ought to guard their affections. You know, Paul said to the church at Colossae, chapter 3, verse 2, set your affections on things above and not on things on this earth. Oh, that we would just love the Lord like we love sports. Man, we'd get a lot done for God, wouldn't we? We'd be so much better off if we would just set our affections on the things of God. Let me remind you, folks, that the Apostle John said in 1 John 2, 15, 16, and 17, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of God. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And you know, folks, we are so bombarded today by the world. And sadly, what so many people see is then what they want. They covet. And just like Achan, we covet what we see. And what Achan coveted was that which was forbidden. God forbade it. He said, don't take it. It's not yours. Don't take it. But Achan could not help himself. He took it. God told him, don't you take a thing out of Jericho. Everything in Jericho was off limits to the Israelites. Now, folks, you cannot help but see the parallel between Achan and Adam and Eve. God told Adam that he could eat of every tree in the garden, every tree, except for one. One. You see, there were two special trees in the garden. Do you remember that? There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the one they couldn't eat from. Because Adam and Eve had not sinned, they did not know what evil was. They had no clue what evil was. Boy, they found out, didn't they? Sure did. But there was a second tree, and that was the tree of life. Now, God didn't tell them they couldn't eat of that one. And you know why they could eat of that one? Because they already had eternal life. Just keep eating. You know? But once they sinned, now they had the knowledge of good and evil. And God put the cherubim there to keep Adam and Eve out of that garden. Do you know why? So they wouldn't go eat of the tree of life and be forever lost. Forever lost. You see, only God had access to that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Again, that tree was the Lord's. It was forbidden for Adam and Eve to eat the fruit of that tree. That tree was the tithe in the Garden of Eden, if you will. It was only for God. So there is a real sense in which the first sin in this world was the sin of Adam and Eve not tithing. That shows you how important God takes the matter of tithing, doesn't it? You see, when Eve saw the tree, she desired to eat it. That's coveting. And that's exactly what Achan did. And it ruined Eve's life, and it also ruined Achan's and his whole family. Folks, listen very carefully. There has been way too many of God's people who have allowed their affections to be set on what God says that we're to stay away from. God says they're forbidden. All right? So be careful, Christian. Be careful of coveting that which God has declared off limits. All right, number three. Go back to the verse. Look at it. He said, I saw. And then he said, I coveted. And then notice, it says, and took them. That was the next step. You know why he took them? Nobody was watching. Nobody was watching. He said, I coveted them and I took them. God said, don't do it. But Achan did not listen to God. He listened to his own flesh. If we let our eyes dwell upon the forbidden and then allow our affections to kick in and cause us to covet, the very next step will be for us to take what we covet. We find ourselves embracing what God has declared to be off limits. I think most people believe that, you know, because you hear this statement all the time. They say, oh, so-and-so, yeah, he used to serve the Lord, but he fell into sin. You know, like there's this great big pit out there somewhere. And you're walking along in the middle of the night in the darkness and you just fall in the pit. And that pit is called sin. Oh, yeah, he fell into sin. Folks, you don't fall into sin. Nobody does. You say, well, Pastor, how do you get there? One step at a time. One step at a time. First you see, and then you covet, and then you take. And it always works that way. Isn't that strange? Strange how that works. Same thing happened to Adam and Eve. Same thing. And if we let our eyes dwell upon those things, then the next thing you know, we're going to be taking that which does not belong to us. And folks, that's how sin works. There is just not this big pit out there that we fall into. Please, don't say that ever again. Oh, he fell into sin. No. He walked one step at a time into sin. He could have stopped any time. Or she. But they didn't. They didn't. The gradual walk down the path to to destruction happens when our eyes and our affections have long betrayed virtue, and then there is the outward act of taking that occurs. So we don't fall. We go down a path. Sometimes it's a long path, but sometimes it's a short path. But we walk one step at a time. And then lastly, I want you to look at the next, the two next phrases. Now, it says, and behold, here it is, number four. They are what? There you go. They're hidden. You know, the final step is the cover up of our sin. The cover up. Achan came clean because God told on him. And he knew he'd been told on. He was hoping for mercy. He was hoping for mercy. But folks, listen. God's pretty serious about us taking what's his. You know? God's pretty serious about that. Go back to Adam and Eve for just a minute. Do you remember when God showed up in the cool of the day to fellowship? And after they sinned, we're told in Genesis 3:8, when they heard God coming, they hid themselves, yes, among the trees of the garden. You know, in both the Garden of Eden and in Achan's tent, God was not deceived. Oh, Achan may have hidden his sin from the eyes of men, but he was not able to hide his sin from the eyes of God. Adam and Eve thought that they could go hide out in the trees and that that they would not have to deal with God. But God came searching for them. Remember that? God came looking for them. Where are you, Adam? Oh, I'm over here. What are you doing over there? Well, you know, we heard you coming and it scared us, so we hid ourselves. You sinned against me, didn't you? It's her fault. It was her fault. He wasn't going to take the blame. It's that woman you gave me. It's her fault. You know, really, when you get down to it, what Adam was doing was blaming God. If you hadn't given me that woman, I wouldn't be in sin today. So it's your fault, God. It's sad, folks, but once sin gets in the picture, everything gets fouled up, doesn't it? In Numbers 32:23, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. The omniscient God of heaven knows everything. He sees everything. He understands everything. He knows each step we take as we walk down that path that is going to lead to destruction. He knows it all. The path to destruction. And you know, that path has had a lot of folks walk down it through the years. A lot. God, however, sees the beginning from the end. And God knows our every step. He knows our every motive, and he knows our every incentive. It always starts with what we see. And then that leads to coveting. And then that leads to actually taking what God says is forbidden. And that leads us to try and cover up and hide what we have done. Folks, listen. The eye of God never blinks. Never blinks. He'll see it all. He is watching at all times. And what happened here with Achan happened long before Achan with Adam and Eve. And yet our world today is so foolishly deceived that we think it cannot happen with us. And it sure can. I don't know why the Lord laid this on my heart this week. I don't know why. But I'm telling you, folks, evidently God knew that some of our folks could use this. Or not, if not all of our folks could use this. So let's be careful. Don't give the old devil the opportunity to make a mess out of you. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask now your richest blessings to be upon what we have heard tonight. Thank you for the word of God. Your word has the answers. Your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, I pray that you will take what has been said tonight and may it lodge in somebody's heart. I pray for these young people tonight. And I pray that you will help them not to fall into the traps that the devil sets for them. May they guard their eyes, keep their eyes pure, keep from looking at that which might start the downward spiral to destruction. So, Father, bless what's been said. And I pray that you'll use this to make a difference in somebody's life tonight. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.